Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Thank you for joining us today. Janie and I are continuing our discussion in Philippians chapter 4, where Paul is sharing peace from prison to the saints in Philippi.
In all of their busyness of following through with protecting the body of Christ, protecting the purity of the word, and not letting someone in that could destroy, they had forgotten their first love, which should have been an agape love towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had not just misplaced it, they had purposely walked away from it.
Janie, we have been on an interesting journey through this letter Paul wrote from prison. He shares prayers, principles, perseverance, and now in chapter 4, he shares peace. Now, peace is greatly desired, but few of us are finding it as consistent in our lives. And one of the main reasons why is because of division. And where we're going to today is looking at the instruction that Paul gives the fellow brethren
or fellow workers
at Philippi about these two ladies, Euodia,
and Syntyche. Close enough for us Southern girls.
Yeah. So these two ladies were working together. And now he is reaching out to them to ask them to be of one mind in the Lord.
Well, and it is perplexing, although I think it's fairly common, Sharon. These ladies had worked together as a team had been working right alongside Paul. So, you know, they had to be in harmony or Paul would have already said something. But some issue arose between the ladies. And now Paul has to teach us through Philippians 4 how to gently, with moderation, but with skill and tactic, dealing with ladies who are now upset and separated with division, how to bring about the unity or restore the unity because of somewhere along the line, they decided that they couldn't agree on something. Mm-hmm. And that happens more than once in ministry, doesn't it, Sharon?
Well, I think it happens more than once in any kind of relationship that you have, whether that's two women, two men, a man and a woman. I mean, we see it all the time.
Or a committee.
Anything. Mm-hmm. So when you get two or more together, you're going to have issues that arise. It's just the way it is.
And so I guess there we need to probably say we always need to look at two categories, the essentials, where there must be a resolve, or the non-essentials, where there can sometimes be the agreement to disagree, but still maintain harmony on what's important. And Paul doesn't really tell us exactly what caused this to happen, but I thought it would really be neat if we looked at Revelations 2 and 3 today, Sharon, because that is the letter to the churches, the last letter, and the Lord was, through that letter written, pointing out where he had a problem with the way we were behaving or misbehaving.
Okay.
And it's a good way to look at the comparison. And so if you want to, let's just see if we can hang out for a while in Revelations 2 and 3.
Okay.
And, you know, the first church that is addressed is a church at Ephesus, which was really the strongest of the churches. Mm-hmm. They really had their act together on what the Lord was saying that they were doing about their works and their patience and everything like that. But there was one big snafu, and that is that in all of their busyness of following through with protecting the body of Christ, protecting the purity of the word, and not letting someone in that could destroy, they had forgotten their first love, which should have been an agape love towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had not just misplaced it, they had purposely walked away from it.
So they purposely walked away?
Not with getting together and having a prayer meeting and saying, we're going to put Jesus Christ further down on the roster. But they just got so busy that he just didn't get the time. They didn't spend the time in prayer. You can make these assumptions because we know what a life has to have to maintain balance and to keep agape love. And without agape love, everything else falls apart. I believe probably these two ladies had a phileo love at one point and probably agape love, but somewhere it got probably wounded.
Well, and then there's things like misunderstandings that happens. There's hurt feelings that happen. There's possibly selfish ambition, things that get our focus off track. And so we can spiral down with just one instance happening in our life that causes a domino effect, and then the next thing you know, we've gotten way off the course and lost our first love.
Now, if we have left that first love, do you think that it really just happened over one incident? Or do you think there might have been some subtle little eating away? You know, the Bible talks about the little foxes spoiling the vines. And I'm wondering if there was maybe just too much stress on something, too much weariness. And then all of a sudden there was an incident that allowed it to erupt. And now Paul realizes that the whole church is being hindered in their worship and their fellowship. But what I like is in these verses, starting off really with about verse 3, 4, 5, right in there, where he makes an appeal that these ladies need to get their act together and work in harmony, but he sees that it's going to take more than just the two of them coming together. In mm-hmm. other words, it had split so they couldn't resolve their conflict. So what does he...
Some sort of intervention with... But what, people helping.
Yeah, but what he does is he pulls the body of Christ in. My fellow workers, you get in there and help these girls resolve this conflict. And some people are going to say, oh, listen, we're not bugging those ladies. We're not going to get in the middle of this brawl. We're not going to, they'll have to work it out themselves. And that is really taking a passive, non-scriptural basis. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is an art to being able to handle problems. And yes, there has to be a spirit of forgiveness. There has to be a spirit of repentance. But first of all, there has to be enough instruction to the ladies so they can make application for the restoration. Otherwise, all the instruction just leads to destruction. And so I like the way he brings in calling the body to come together. And then he very timely, I believe it's in verse 4, after he has told them to come together. And by the way, there's one little subtle point here in verse 3, and that is that he says these workers have their name in the book of life. Mm-hmm. So he was stating a position of qualifying them to have the authority to tackle this problem. And then what does he do? He says, now, let's just rejoice in the Lord, and let's always, again, rejoice. What do we need to do? We need to get our focus back on the Lord Jesus Christ to resolve any kind of conflict.
Right.
If we try to do it through logic, opinion, rationalization, it's going to be my opinion or my rationalization that will be dominant. Mm-hmm. So he brings them together in unity with rejoicing. And then he says in verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, there's a lot of translations, Sharon, that talk about let your moderation be made known rather than gentleness. How do you see interpreting those words gentleness and moderation in this text?
Well, I would say that probably it's about how you deal and speak to that person in light of scripture with a gentleness, not coming at them hard, but with a gentleness, a moderation, to moderately approach them with the word of God.
That's good. There was one point that I found in looking at the Greek that surprised me a little. The Lord doesn't say, let's sin just a little bit, or let's sin in moderation. So this context, as he says, let your gentleness and or your moderation be made known, it's really setting up a parameter of total abstinence. When you deal with this person's problem, don't make allowances saying, well, we can allow this in moderation, or even gentleness. Let's don't really get to the heart of the problem. So he's really setting up on how you have to deal with women. You have to deal with us ladies with absolutes, but you also have to deal in a spirit of gentleness, moderation, that equals a totality of saying, ladies, this will not continue. Mm-hmm. This is against who you are as being created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. This is affront against the body of Christ.
And reminding them that Satan is at work when we allow these things to take place in our lives. He is absolutely to cause division between relationships of any sort.
And what a warning here, Sharon, because these people had worked together with Paul. These ladies had worked together. And now the enemy, who works 24/7 and never takes a coffee break and is always intensely determined to destroy any testimony that saints will want to build. So we need to recognize that even though if we've worked together in ministry 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, that there is always the possibility of the discontent, disrespect arising in relationships. I think we can look at history and see ministries that have gone on for decades and then there was a collapse.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we have to do as any ministry team is make sure that you're praying together and staying focused together on the purpose of that ministry. And that's the same in a relationship, husbands and wives praying together and being in unity, because they are a team for that family, whether they have finished raising their children or still raising their children. It's still a family, and they still have to be in unity with Christ in the center. And that goes for every relationship that we encounter.
And that's a lot easier said than done when we have too much on our plate, or we are too busy. And it's interesting to, again, go back over to Revelation.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Well, I think we could say that probably Ephesus had a heart problem. Okay, they had left their first love, and there is strong exhortation. He says, you need to repent. And for a church that was the strongest church in their representation of following Christ, that's strong language, to repent. Many people say that means make a change and do a 180, and I won't disagree with that, but it really involves more than that. It means a change of mind, a transformation. And I know we've had that used as an illustration with the metamorphosis of the
caterpillar
going to the beautiful butterfly. Mm-hmm. And I will say something that I learned from experience many years ago. When you try to take a caterpillar and help it out of its cocoon a little ahead of time, it will die. It has to have the struggle for the beauty to come out in the transformation of the butterfly.
Well, that should be a lesson for us as Christians, that we need to allow those babes in Christ and ourselves to go through those struggles, because we're always metamorphosing.
And time to grow.
Yes.
Which again is a side path, but that's why we don't need to make opinions about where a person is.
Yes.
We need to have discernment, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we hear bitter words, if we hear condemning, accusatory words, then we know there is a heart problem.
Right.
And then we need to come alongside and help that heart problem. So if we move on to the next church in Revelations 2 and 3, it was the church at Pergamos, and they had an immune problem.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, it means they kept getting into areas where they were allowing poison in their spirit and in their fellowship, and a wounded spirit. And you know, the Bible says, and I believe it's Proverbs, that a spirit of a person will sustain them in sickness, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? And so if you are...
If we have an immune problem, we are susceptible to disease.
Susceptible to lies, and susceptible to an unforgivingness.
Okay.
And the unforgivingness is really unforgivable in some aspects, because total forgiveness was given to us through Jesus Christ at the cross. And he didn't forgive us 98 and 44 one-hundredths. It was a total forgiveness. And then he tells us in Ephesians 3 that we're to forgive the way we have been forgiven. And there's other implications with this spirit of unforgiveness, but we won't take time today to go into them. I would like to later on. But these people were being exposed to the deadly germs of worldliness.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd really like come down with an autoimmune disease where they had chosen to blend into the entertainment of the world. And they were no longer a distinctive, healthy witness to the very people they were wanting to be a witness to.
Mm-hmm.
And Sharon, there are sins of omission, which means we just don't do it and mm-hmm. we're supposed to. And there are sins of commission, where we do them and we shouldn't.
Okay.
And both of those can really be studied in the life of David, because he was guilty of sins of omission and commission, and he confesses that before the Lord. The church at Thyatira had a problem with infections.
Okay.
And they were not putting on the armor of God, and they weren't ready for action against the enemy. There was too much doing, too much busyness, and really not enough being.
So we can really get busy in ministry, or get busy as moms, or get busy as community leaders, and lose sight of the true purpose of everything that we're doing.
That's right. And you had a word there that I wanted you to emphasize, and that is we have a tendency to lose the truth because we allow false teachings to subtly come in. And false teachings can be as innocent as things that are comfort or make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
And the Christian life was never called to be a feel good life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's wonderful things about it, but most of us wind up being worriers instead of warriors.
Okay.
And then we don't keep the truth before us. And then how can we be a light to those around us if we've allowed the inroads of a false teaching that we may not even recognize because we've been too busy?
Right.
Okay.
That's a good counsel right there.
And then many people are having heart attacks, but they don't realize that they're at the brink of death. And that's what happened, according to the scriptures, at the church of Sardis. They okay. thought they were doing everything right, but the Lord says, you say you look okay, but you're dead.
Okay.
And so if you have a cardiac arrest, you're dead.
So what's the difference between a heart problem and cardiac arrest?
Well, a cardiac arrest can be fatal.
And a heart problem is just an issue.
Well, it's working you towards a cardiac arrest.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Okay. So once you lose or leave your first love,
mm-hmm.
then you're working towards eventually
a cardiac arrest.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes. And then last but not least.
Okay. Well, no, let's talk about the cardiac arrest for just a second.
Okay.
So what is the implications there?
Well, they were going through the motions of the church and ministry, and they thought they were doing everything right. But the message is, from the Lord looked at the heart, and he said, you're dead. Your heart.
So they didn't even realize they were dead.
They didn't realize it. No.
Because they had probably lost their first love a long time ago.
A long time ago. And okay. They had just gotten into the rituals of
traditions of men.
You make sure you're at church 3 times a week. You mm-hmm. make sure you do this. You make sure you do that. And then traditions change. You know, medicine changes over time. I can remember when blood pressure was considered normal at 140 over 90. And now we've got it down to 120 over 80. And we're moving to take it down lower. Okay. That's not for us to decide why. But nevertheless, the church at Laodicea really decided that they didn't really need the Lord, that they could handle everything themselves, that they were rich and they had need of nothing.
Okay, so they were blinded by prosperity.
They blinded by prosperity, and that's something that we probably could, if we had the time, could get into and maybe need to go into it later on.
We see that in our plush America society.
So basically, what Paul is saying is somewhere these ladies probably would have fallen into some of these problems with the proper exhortation, and Paul is now...
As a root problem.
As a root problem.
Okay.
And we don't know what the particular symptoms were, but we do know that Paul was determined to see that the unity was restored in harmony.
Okay. And so you had a point that I want to bring out before we go. And that is that the point of departure is the point of return.
Wow. That will, can we do another 30 minutes?
Well, no, I just want to touch on that, because these ladies, once they find that root problem, and this goes for all of us, once we find that root problem in the issue that we have that has caused us to depart from the Lord Jesus, is the point of return that we need to move back to.
Yes. When you depart, you've got to go back and find the root. Otherwise, it'll be like putting on Band-Aids and salve. You won't get the core issue settled.
Right.
So when you recognize you've departed, then you've got to work your way back. It's just not, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up, or something.
And then keep going.
That's right.
You've got to know where that point of departure was,
and
the root problem.
And you've got to learn those lessons. And that's where that saying, instruction is not sufficient if you don't have application, because you will continue to cycle or circle in the durable cage.
Okay.
So once you depart, you cannot be satisfied with any kind of gloss over until you have gotten to the root, and then slowly work your way back to the point where you had originally departed. And the scripture will be your foundation for being able to do that with a solid consistency.
Okay. It has been a great lesson. And then those are great thoughts to take back to the churches and what Jesus said, to be able to apply those things to our lives and say, okay, is this me? Have I lost my first love? Is this me? Do I have an infection? Do I have an unforgiveness problem? Am I in cardiac arrest? You know, am I dead? Am I just doing works? Am I just following the traditions of men? And really examine our hearts and get back to that point of departure from the Lord, and keep those short accounts, as you keep telling us, to keep those short accounts every day. That way we don't get so far off track.
A daily cleansing is necessary, and we don't want to tear down the fact that we've been created in His image.
Amen.
Because when we do, then it's a direct reflection on who He is.
Amen. All right, Janie. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Father, we thank You that we can come before You with all of our perplexities and with seeing our lacks. And sometimes it might cause us to have fear and anxieties, or sometimes just hopeless and helplessness. But we know that You're the great shepherd, and that You know how to care for Your sheep, whether they're drinking from dirty water, whether they won't lie down in the green pastures, whether they're fearful, You are sufficient. So Father, This week, just show us the beauty of your sufficiency as the great shepherd in all that we do. And that, Father, we pray that we will work anytime we see the need for unity and harmony amongst the children of God. We thank you and praise you for the blessings that you've given us. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.